Hello folks, this is Brandon here with a quick announcement before we get started. Just to let you know, we need to have a business meeting to discuss a few things for our church, and our constitution does not have a pandemic plan for how to proceed. So I'm going to make a quick announcement that we will be having a special call business meeting. It's going to be Wednesday, August 12th at 6:30 to discuss church business. Mask will be required and distancing will be mandatory. Again, that's going to be Wednesday, August 12th at 6:30. And back to your regularly scheduled program.
Well, greetings to each and every one. Here we are again in an empty sanctuary at Grace Temple Baptist Church. Folks, I just have a feeling that in a few weeks we'll be back together. I noticed the paper this morning indicated that the epidemic has sort of leveled off a little bit in McLennan County. That was good news. But just as soon as we feel like that it's safe for each and every one of us, we will come roaring back in and enjoy worshiping together. Let me encourage you to continue to check on one another. We have a few people who are not doing well, and I just want to encourage you that as you have knowledge of someone who may be having surgery or other illnesses, to encourage them and pray with them and for them. And I do not know of any of our congregation here at Grace Temple that has contracted COVID. If you know of someone, would you let me know? I would like to get in touch with them. But I do not know. I've not heard of anybody who has contracted the virus. But nevertheless, let's just continue to be patient and look forward to that day that we can come back together to worship and praise our precious Lord, and because that's going to be a good day. Now, one last word. I just want to express my appreciation to each and every one. You have remained so faithful in different ways, not only with your continued contributions to keep things running around here. I praise you for that. But someone said to me, not even a member of this church, but they attend another church, you know, they said, "Buddy, it may be a difficult thing to restart your church." And I asked why, and they said, "Well, people are going to be so accustomed to not going to church, it's going to be hard to get them back." Well, I disagreed with them, because I know this congregation at Grace Temple, that when it's announced that we are opening, you will be back full force. I just have that much faith in you. And so we can still look forward to that day. All right, I think Allison is going to treat us with another song, but I tell you what, why don't you go ahead and find your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy. That's where we're going to be this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I hate to ask you to do that while Allison sings, but maybe your Bible is right handy for you. So Allison, come sing for us, and then we'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Have you found 2 Timothy chapter 3? Why don't you go ahead and turn to that at this time. Today I want to do the message a little different, and because of the nature of what we're wanting to learn from this passage today. Now, as you know, Paul wrote this letter to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor, probably led to the Lord by Paul himself. Nevertheless, Paul was his tutor, was his example. And Paul loved Timothy and wanted to encourage him in every way that he possibly could. Now, how this is going to be different this morning is I want to read through the passage, and then I'm going to go back and look at each, not each and every word, but kind of do a little word study throughout the passage. And as I do, here's what I would like for you to do. I would like for you to relate these words and these word meanings to today and the situation that you and I find ourselves. And I know already that as I do it, you're going to say, yes, that sounds just like today. And then after I have completed that exercise, then we want to look at what Paul said to Timothy in structure and in encouragement. And finally, we'll make an application to what has been said. Now, when I go through these words, I'm not going to make very many comments because we just don't have time to do that. But I think you'll understand as we begin to go through it exactly what I have in mind. I'd prefer to use the King James Version this morning, but I failed to bring it. And I study and preach from the New King James, but the King James has some words that I would prefer. But nevertheless, here we go. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, and then we'll come back and read verses 10 through 17 a little later. Here's what Paul says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was." Now, here we go. I've never done it like this before, but I think it will help us. As I read those verses, could you relate to how that is like it is today? Let's go a little deeper as we look at it like this. Paul said, "Know this." In other words, keep this in your mind. And when he said this, he means keep what I'm about to say in your mind. Make note of it. The last days, he mentioned the last days, which I believe is immediately before the second coming of Christ. We're in the last days. The final part of it is when the Lord Jesus does return. He said, perilous. That means hard times, difficult and dangerous days. That sound familiar? And then in verses 2 through 5, he says about men. Now, that word is used in the case where it refers both to men and women, or the whole race of humanity, not just the men, but all of us. He said they will be lovers of self. And that means very fond of one's own self, on having a deep affection for oneself. Lovers of money, that just simply means that money is their god, trying to get more and more and more of it. I had a man one time to tell me, he was very wealthy. He said, "Brother Buddy, I don't want all the money. I just want one more dollar." And that's what he's talking about, money, they being lovers of money. And then boasters. And a boaster is someone who is empty and who is a pretender. And I found one word in the lexicon that really stuck out at me, that boasters are strutters. Have you ever seen a banty rooster strut around? Well, that's what a boaster does, calling attention to himself. And then he said, they are proud. And that word really spoke to me because I have pastored people who are proud in the haughty way, to show themselves higher than other people. And the word haughty is in there too. In other words, they're all show. And just look at me, look at me. Then he speaks about being blasphemous, meaning speaking evil, being slanderous, and being abusive. And not only toward God, but sacred things as well. Are we getting close to these words describing where we are today? Well, we have some more. Disobedient to parents. Now, there is a big one today. Talking about headstrong children being in opposition to God's design for the parents and being disobedient to parents. That's not talking about just one little old occasional thing, but it relates to it, but becoming just totally disobedient to parents. Then he said they are unthankful, not recognizing. These people do not recognize God's grace and his mercy. Unthankful, meaning that they have a right to anything and everything, even without being grateful or saying thank you at all. You know, our current day epidemic, wearing masks and everything, has had an effect on us in our relationships with other people. We'll talk about that more later. I didn't mean to get off on that. Then he talks about unholy. That means no fear of God. No fear of God. No thought of God. Just going on, even in their godless ways. And then the King James says, without natural affection. And the natural affection that he's talking about there has reference to the natural way that parents feel about their children and children feel about their parents, and also the natural affection between a man and a woman. In other words, Paul is saying that they have turned in an unnatural way of affection in their life. They're cold, and they do not have concern for other people. Well, let's go ahead. Mention something about truce breakers, that they are not bound to their promises that they make. People today do not keep their word and their promise. Then he mentioned false teachers. And false teachers is simply designed to ruin the character of other people and to lead them astray into false doctrines. I've had that in various churches where people have come in and taught false teachings, and we had to address that in a very tactful way. And then incontinent, which simply means that they have no self-control. Don't we understand that? No self-control. Then he mentions being fierce, wild, and impetuous, and void of gentleness. We do live in a world today where we see less gentleness than we ever saw before. And traitors. And a traitor is one who will deliver someone up to an enemy through craftiness and underhandedness. We have traitors in our world today. Heady. And that is a neat little word that means rash and inconsiderate. I have seen so much of that, and haven't you? Well, we're getting close. Now then, high-minded. This is another way that Paul brought it back in, which simply means full of themselves and empty of everything that is good. That's what high-minded means, full of themselves and empty of all good. Then he mentions lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And I looked that word pleasures up, and it means sensual gratification becomes their God. And that's what they strive for, and that's what they push for. And then he talked about a form of godliness. And that doesn't mean they are godlike, but they are full of knowledge, even scriptural knowledge. They're full of rituals, but yet they deny the power of God to bring about a change in their life. They're just full of everything that looks good and acts good, but they have not applied the power of God to their life. And Paul's saying, do not imitate them. Get away from them. And because of their outward flair, just don't have anything to do with them. You don't need to. Now then, we're moving right on to the end of that section. And Paul said there are those who come in and they divide and destroy. They entice gullible women. Now, a lot of ladies today become upset about that phrase that Paul made, but we have to understand the day in which Paul wrote that. Women had a different role. And they were easily enticed because they had no way to support themselves. And so people of an adverse mind could come in and divide the family, destroy the family, and entice the women away. I don't know if that happens very much today or not, less than it did, but Paul thought it was important enough to mention it. And then he indicates in verses 7, 8, and 9 to they gain knowledge, but they never grasp the truth. In other words, they fill their hearts and their lives and their minds with things that sound good, Holy Scripture that they had in those days, but they never really grasp what the truth was. And Paul says they will go no further. They just, that's as far as they can go, because it cannot prevail, according to Paul, against the truth. Their words, their works, and their ways will be made visible and brought to light. And according to Paul, they will go no farther. That is far as they can go. Now that was a fast run through of a little bitty word study, verses 1 through 9. Now then I want to read verses 10 through 17, and we're not going to do a word study there, but I just want to make some observations about Paul's encouragement that he gave to Timothy in light of all of those things he just talked about that he could expect to face in his life. Before I read that, let me ask you quickly, as I went through those individual words, did they relate to today at all? And I'm looking around the room, and there's four of us in here, and I see some heads nodding, so now I don't know if they're agreeing or if they're trying to wake up. I don't know. But nevertheless, it goes without saying that those verses sound like the Waco Tribune Herald today and what we see on television. I'm getting off chasing rabbits, but, you know, human nature has never changed. If that's the way it was in Paul's day, and that's the way it was in the days of Moses, as he relates in verse 8, that's the way it is today. Human nature is human nature. But that doesn't mean we give up. That doesn't mean we throw in the towel. And that's where Paul comes in now with verses 10 through 17. And let me read those to us at this time. Paul says, but, that means in contrast to what he has just told Timothy about the way things are going to be, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, my persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Oh, what a statement he is saying to young Timothy. Out of all of those sufferings, the Lord has delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Let me read that again. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, let me just share a few things about that I think is helpful, because when we realize what's going on in our world today, we need some encouragement like Timothy did. Don't you know that was encouraging to Timothy or discouraging when Paul gave that list of everything? Hey, Timothy, this is what you can look forward to. It's coming. But I have some other words for you, Timothy. And the first one I think I would title Realization. Paul realized and recognized his own persecution. But in that, he told Timothy about his faithfulness. And he was not bragging. He was just pointing out the fact that he had been faithful. He endured all that came his way. And he mentioned his deliverance. In the midst of all of that, the Lord delivered him. And it was because of Paul's faith that he had in the Lord and the patience that he had. There might have been some times that Paul wanted just to quit, but he was patient in that. He didn't enjoy the suffering other than he counted it, he's proud that the Lord counted him worthy to suffer in the sake of Christ. And then he says in verses 12 and 13, you too, Timothy, you need to recognize that because you name the name of Christ, these things are going to come your way, and they're going to grow worse and worse. I don't think I need to say a whole lot there, do I? I'm telling you, I've been in this business for 59 years. And it is worse now than it has ever been. I never dreamed to see it like it is today. Paul was right. It's going to grow worse and worse and worse. Then in verses 14 to 17, Paul says to Timothy, stay true to the word. Stay true to the doctrines that you have heard from me. Paul's putting himself on the line, his own reputation. And I think that would be something that you and I should understand and rejoice in, that we have Scripture that we can rely upon and we can read and study. He talked about the doctrine, and that just simply means to teach the will of God as we point people to Jesus. Stay true to the doctrine. And he said, Scriptures is also for reproof. That means to set things straight, straighten out the errors that we can use with Holy Scripture. Correction, that also means proper use of Scripture and the correcting of views and beliefs. Folks, we have so many errant views out there today that need to be corrected. But Paul said, use the scriptures to correct those errors and to teach in righteousness, to teach people as well as yourself how to live in a right relationship with God. That's what that word righteousness means, to have a right relationship with God. And how do we do that? We learn it from Holy Scripture. And let me say this one word. When Paul said that in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration, when Paul said those words, he was not referring to the New Testament. He had no idea that he was going to write one-third of the New Testament. They didn't have that. He was talking about the Old Testament scriptures that they had. But it applies to those inspired words that have been collected for our New Testament. They are inspired, and we can say that they are given by inspiration and are profitable for doctrine and so on and so forth. So, to teach other people how to live in a right relationship with God. And the last thing he said was, so that the man of God may be complete. As we dwell in the scriptures of God and meditate and apply them to our lives, we can become complete. Now, the King James may say perfect, but the word perfect in King James translates to be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I'm going to close now by giving to us a very simple application. It would be futile if we would go through all of those verses and not make some application in addition to where you and I live today. Number one, with all of this in your mind and heart that we have talked about, all of those word studies and the encouragement that Paul gave us, with all of that in our minds and in our hearts, Paul described to us, and it applies to 2020. Do you agree with that? It applies to us today. And I know that you saw the resemblance with then as well as now. So clear. Now, to apply that can be daunting, it can be discouraging, and it can even drive us sometimes to the point to quit. I'm going to have to make a confession. I did a Google search. Well, I don't use Google, I use Bing. I did a Bing search because I'm mad at Google. I did a Bing search about democratic nations in our land, in our world, because I thought, if I could find a good one that had mountains and trees and streams, I think I'd just move over there and leave this place. But I looked and I didn't find one that fit all the criteria. And I think there's a reason I didn't, because I think the Lord would have us to stay here and to do what we can do to save this country. But it is daunting and it is discouraging. But Paul would have us to stay where we are and to hold the cause of Christ high. Now, Paul spoke directly to Timothy, therefore he speaks directly to us. And here's the last little bit. We can expect persecutions. If you name the name of Christ and you stand up for him, you can expect persecution. You can wear a t-shirt or a cap or whatever with the name Christ on it and with a gospel message, and you are bound to be persecuted in one way or another. And we can expect that, and we can expect it to get worse and worse. The other thing is to distance ourselves from false teachers and etc. Get away from them. They are no good to you or for you. And to remember the truth as Paul taught it, and to be encouraged in the strength of Christ. That we can follow His example through His sufferings as well as God's deliverance. And finally, rely on the Word of God. Rejoice over His grace and His mercy during these perilous times. May the Lord bless these words today that we have found in Holy Scripture. Join me now as we pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, these words that we have studied this morning kind of open our eyes to where we are in this whole world today. But it also encourages us to know that Paul went through the same thing that we are today. And Lord, he endured. It ended up costing him his life. But just to be close to the Lord and to serve the Lord and to be faithful to Him was worth every bit of it. So, Lord, this coming week, may we find ourselves grounded in Scripture and that we hold forth the gospel of light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.